Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. We've got a very special show in store for you today. And when I introduce my guest, you'll understand why. But first, of course, we have our quotes of the day from Abraham and the universe. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. Just curious, when was the last time you looked into a mirror and addressed yourself as gorgeous, magnificent, or sublime? It matters. Here's looking at you, gorgeous, the universe. Universe having a little fun with us today, and definitely a very apropos quote from my guest, who is definitely knows style. So we'll talk more about that shortly. Let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. Attempting to control others attracts more to be controlled. It is easy to understand you would come to the conclusion that your path to feeling good is through influencing or controlling the behavior of others. But as you attempt to control them through influence or coercion, you discover that not only can you not contain them, but your attention to them brings more like them into your experience. You simply cannot get to where you want to be by controlling or eliminating the unwanted. Abraham. Very interesting quote from Abraham. A little bit different one than what we usually get, talking about control. And really, though, it's very much in alignment with a lot of what Abraham talks about, because when you're attempting to control others, and it doesn't matter whether it's trying to control the environment, trying to control people, trying to control animals, whatever you're trying to control, the more you're focusing on the fact that, like, these things aren't doing what you want them to do, the more you're going to attract other things that aren't doing what you want them to do. And so the more you focus on those things, the more that energy is held in your field, the more you're going to find it, the more you're going to have to control this and control that and control this and control that. And before you know it, you have to control the whole universe, which, as we know, is way beyond our control. Whereas if we learn to trust and not worry about what other people think, say, or do, but focus on ourselves and our own actions, our own choices, our own focus and our own vibration, that is something we can control. Because ultimately, we have no control over what happens to us, over what's going on in the universe, but we do have 100% control over how we respond, how we show up, who we are being in the moment. So, a very interesting kind of quote from Abraham, just reminding us not to focus on what everybody else is doing. That doesn't serve us. That doesn't empower us. That doesn't bring us to a greater place. But to focus on how we're showing up. and it's an influence and control. Influencing is not about controlling other people. Influence is by leading by example. And that's truly the way that we influence people. When we show up as a better version of ourselves, we call others to show up as better version of themselves. And ultimately, this is not something to judge anybody about because we don't know truly what other people's lives are like. We haven't walked a mile in their shoes. We haven't lived their life. We don't know what's going on inside of them. So sometimes that outward process may seem a little messy, you know, may seem, you know, oh, I would never do something like that. But you don't know. And if you were in that person's exact same situation, exact same background, exact same experiences, maybe you would have. So let's stop worrying about what everyone else is doing and let's focus on developing ourselves, on doing that inner work, on growth, and on being the example. So, two wonderful quotes from the universe and from Abraham. I hope you've enjoyed them. We'll have two more quotes for you next week, of course. And again, just a quick reminder, we are doing our Facebook live stream. Welcome, Julian, tuning in on the live stream, along with everybody else. It's great to have you guys listening to us. Just remember, you can always ask questions by just posting something in the comments field of the Facebook live stream, and we'll see your comments. And of course, I will respond or ask our guest. And let me flip around the camera here. Thank you, Brad, for the thumbs up. Always glad to have the love. And so I have a little bit of a different kind of show in store for you today because my guest, who is Greg Banks, is a New Orleans native and who's described as the Saint of Soul. Yes, we're doing a soul-filled musical show today, which I'm very happy about. I haven't actually have a musical artist on my show for quite a long time. I've had musical artists in the past, but not for a couple of years. So, Greg, welcome to the Conscious Consultant
Hour. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, it's great having you here, brother. Greg has memorized audiences throughout New York City and around the country, and he was chosen by Delhi Magazine as New York's best emerging artist. With his amazing body of musical works and his hit singles, Your Love, 16, and Brooklyn Girl, his phenomenal music is causing a major buzz. His music has been described as an eclectic and unexpected fusion of funk, soul, and rock and roll. Banks' exuberant sound masterfully plays homage to guitar heroes Jimi Hendrix and Lenny Kravitz and the R&B and funk sounds that originated in his hometown. So, Greg, I always like to start off just kind of giving people a little bit of my guests' backgrounds and kind of how you came to be who you are today. So my first question to you, of course, is like, how old were you when you knew that like music was in your blood, that like it was part of your life and you had to like fulfill that?
Well, I was about 5 or 6, and my mother actually nurtured it in me. She would play all types of music, and I would sit in the back seat and sing along with it. It was one day that my stepfather was in the car, and he looked back and said, "Do you hear him? He can really do this. He can sing." And from that point on, my mom made sure I was in church choirs, and she got me my first instrument, which was a trumpet, and that's where it all started. But the moment that defined it for me was when I experienced Hurricane Katrina, because losing everything tangible left me with my gift.
Right.
You know, it took everything tangible away and it left me with my purpose. So that's the moment that I knew that I needed to do something that would change the world.
Wow. That's great. And that's, you know, it's so wonderful that your parents actually like encouraged it, because there's a lot of people, you know, their parents like discourage them from being artists and being musicians because like, oh, you can't make money that way. You know, what kind of life are you going to have? You need to support yourself. Right. And so it's great. I love hearing that there are, you know, people who can recognize when their children have gifts that are not necessarily what, quote unquote, society's norms of, you know, this is what you need to do to be successful. Right.
And that's an interesting perspective, because up until about age 14, I wanted to be a neurologist.
A neurologist?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I was actually reading about Ben Carson and reading about all the stories of neurologists, and I listened to John Hopkins, and I saw that it would take about 16 years, and I was like, oh, I'm willing to do that. And then when Katrina came and took everything away from me, I was like, life is too short to spend it doing anything you don't love to do.
Exactly.
You know, so from that moment on, I've been at it. But I come from a big family. nine kids, six boys and three girls.
Wow.
So
nine
everybody
kids.
Had their own thing. And wow. and everybody encouraged me in a special way because no one ever told me to shut up. No one ever told me I dressed too funny. No one ever discouraged me in any way. They all supported me. Wow. And because of that, because I got that support from my family, no one in the world could discourage me or tear me down. Because wow. I had the strength from inside of my home first.
Wow, beautiful. Well, where are you in the, out of the nine kids in
I'm
the
fifth,
order?
Fifth of nine.
Fifth of nine. Yeah. Wow, so you're like right in,
right in the middle
there. Yeah. Wow, you must have gotten lost sometimes, you know.
No, I managed to stand out because they all supported me. We're all so different, but we're alike.
Okay.
Know? Yes.
Who are you closest to of your brothers and sisters?
Why are you going to do that to me, man?
I just, yeah. Like, do you like the older ones, the younger ones, or you love them all?
I love the older one because he showed me how to navigate the world. I love the younger one because he allows me to share with him what will share with me.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. All right, great. You got it, brother. You know how to see the beauty in everybody.
That's right.
Excellent. So when Katrina hit, did your family, everybody survive? Everyone was okay?
Yes. Thankfully, we all survived.
Okay, good.
But we were all separated because, like I said, it's nine of us. So some of us were in Texas, some were in Florida, some of us were in Mississippi.
Oh, so when they relocated you, they didn't keep you together as a family?
No. Well, we were all in different places when it happened. The mayor offered a mandatory evacuation, so we all had to leave. So we were in different places at different times. Some of us were already adults, so we kind of were scattered out for a couple months.
Wow. You know? That must have really been something, at least just initially, like those first few weeks. Yeah. I mean, what were you feeling at the time?
Well, I was confused. I didn't believe what was happening. And in that moment, I thought my life was over because I was in 10th grade. I was in a marching band, and I already knew what I was going to go to college for, and all that was taken away. So I had to reevaluate life much sooner than I probably thought I would have. Right. And in that moment, I said, you know what? The thing that I've been focusing on all my life up until this point is no longer valid. I'm going to be a musician. And I had always sang, and I played trumpet for a number of years, but I didn't know that I wanted to spend my life doing that. But then when everything in my life was taken away, that's all that was there. So that's what I've been doing ever since. And I say all the time, I've nurtured it in every aspect. I studied it in college. I studied classical voice in college. I studied the business aspect of it because I know this is what I wanted to do. So I didn't nurture any plan B. I nurtured A in every aspect of it so I can do different things within the industry itself.
And that's great. I mean, you studied the business of it too, which is sometimes what causes a lot of musicians trouble is like they're really into the music, but then they don't learn those other aspects of like the business and contracts and all kinds of stuff. And lots of musicians have gotten basically screwed out of their rightful earnings because they didn't pay attention to the business
side of things. Right. And,
where were you when you made that decision?
I was in Natchez, Mississippi.
In Mississippi,
because that's as far as our car could get us. It ran out of gas, and you know, we luckily had a relative there, so that's as far as we could go. But I was sitting in an apartment, a 2-bedroom apartment, with 19 other people, and I was just laying there. And I was like, "Wow, this is real. Like the entire city is flooded. This is real." And in that moment, I said, "If I'm going to continue on, what am I going to do the rest of my life? Because everything that I knew was over." So I said, I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to invest my time in it because not just about making the money, but changing somebody else's life and giving them in their moment of desperation some hope through the words that I share because I've been there already.
Yeah.
So I saw it as being bigger than a neurologist. I mean, of course, I can help people's minds, but I can help their hearts by being an artist.
Right.
So I'm my own type of surgeon.
Yeah.
You know I fix up the soul, man.
A surgeon of the soul, right. Exactly. Right. Yeah, you know, the regular surgeons, they only work with the body, artists, we inspire people and that's, we deal with the soul.
That's right.
So you'd made that decision in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I'm just curious, was there ever any like bitterness around losing everything or is it
completely,
just you?
There was. Because, you asked me, did my family survive? Yes. But many friends of mine, they either were lost physically or they were lost spiritually.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing because not many of us sought counseling. We thought we could rectify the problems that we had, but there were things that were so deeply sown that we had no idea how to fix them. So I saw a lot of people who are physically still here, but mentally they're somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because they didn't have the mother that, you know, instilled those values and morals and a higher power in them. So they were lost, you know.
Yeah.
So I saw that happen. And that was the saddest thing because, you know, I remember the day before that we were all sitting in a park and we were sharing our dreams. And the next day, those dreams were shattered for them.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully, I had another perspective because mine could have also been.
Right. And that really, and it kind of goes back to sort of what I was saying before. It's really about how we show up, how we respond to what happens
that's
to us, right?
Because
we don't have control.
That's
you had no control over whether, you know, Katrina hit New Orleans or not. But how you responded to that incident. I'm not even going to call it a tragedy, even though it is a tragedy, mm-hmm. but it's an incident. It happened. That's the force of nature. Right. But how we show up and respond, mm-hmm. we can either let it destroy us right. or we can let it inspire us right. or learn how to move in a different direction. That's and right. for you, in a sense, it was almost liberating mm-hmm. because it took away from you these thoughts of, you know, oh, let me maybe do something that I doesn't quite light me that's up, right. but, right. but can help me to be successful. And now it's like, nah, forget that. Like, this is what's left.
Yes, and to say that to someone, it can sound crazy. It's like, yeah. you don't have to go through a tragedy to find your light.
No, absolutely
don't ever think
not.
That. But
yeah.
I'm thankful that the foundation was in place because playing the trumpet kept me out of the streets. And somebody said, what is the streets? Well, the streets is anything that's not occupying your mind.
Right,
it's
right.
anything that can lead you down the wrong direction.
Right.
So I knew many people, many peers of mine who were living a certain way. And right. I could have easily had done that had I not had
yeah.
the trumpet.
Yeah.
You know, so the trumpet was my voice without using words, you know. What I liked the most was that I can manipulate this instrument to sound like a voice. So that's what kind of
nice.
What inspired me. I remember getting off of the school bus and just playing down the street. My neighbors would all come out the door. They'd be standing looking down the street waiting for me to come.
You know, cool.
They would line up around my backyard and ask me to play a song. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, the Pied Piper of New Orleans, huh?
But listen, there's so many great trumpeters there.
Yeah.
So that was also an aspiration yeah. to be recognized as one of the greatest right. at
and
that.
I mean, and growing up in New Orleans where
man.
It's like music is just everywhere. It's coming
yeah.
out of the walls.
The water, I say.
The water, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Beautiful. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And listeners, you're going to really want to pay attention and listen because when we come back, there's going to be a little bit of different kind of music playing when we come back from break. Not my regular theme music. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And
welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur.
We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun.
For you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business.
And your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Heaven by Greg Banks. So what was the inspiration for that song?
Well, honesty is the basis of it is love, man. It's love for a woman who's encouraging you and supporting you and showing you that no matter how hard it gets, you can get to where you got to go. You know, and it's not just for, you know, your partner. It could be for your mother
mm-hmm.
or
right.
your grandmother or your sister. You know, being strong and being supportive and being honest is what it takes, you know, because none of us can do it on our own. You know,
right.
it takes someone to believe in you and also almost invest in you as much as you do in yourself
right.
for you to get to where you got to go. So it's a moment of saying, I appreciate you for being so angelic but choosing me.
Wow. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Because, I mean, we all need others to believe in us. Okay. I mean, yeah, we can be strong and we could go it alone and everything else, but it really does take the support of a community. Oh, yeah. Because it's very easy when you don't have somebody supporting you for those self-doubts to creep in, mm-hmm. you know, for you to worry, you know, am I really good enough? Can I really do this? Did you have any of that when you were, you know, once you made the decision and the commitment and you were out there playing and, mm-hmm. And you know, doing gigs and stuff and things weren't quite maybe happening quite the way you expected it?
Yes, I did. And when those moments came, I thought to myself, what more can I do? Mm. So that's where the challenge came to evolve. You know, maybe in this evolution, I'll find some serenity and I'll get close to where I got to go. So time has also been a beautiful thing because when I started, I was like pure R&B. Those were the things that that was the language I was speaking in. Then from there, it went to a fusion of R&B and soul. And then from there, it went to R&B, soul, funk, and then rock and roll, you know, became a part of it. And I think God for allowing me to grow, because had it happened sooner, like we said earlier, I wouldn't have been able to do what I'm doing now, and I wouldn't have the story that I have now. So, you know, although that's a beautiful thing, I want it to happen as soon as possible, though.
Right.
You know, but I'm thankful for the time that it's taken, because I've grown to truly appreciate it and truly be a valuable asset to those who are coming up. I can teach them how to, you know, just be hungry, but also be patient, you know, be driven, but also be kind, and you know, just take the journey day by day.
Yeah, day by day. Big shout out to our listeners on the Facebook live stream. Alex, old dear friend of mine, thank you for tuning in. So, Greg, when did you come to New York City? You're a local now, right? You live in New York City?
Yeah, well, they say it takes 10 years. I've only been in half of that.
I've
been in for 5 years, six years in October.
All right. So you're an easy pass executive at the
I'm
moment.
Yeah.
And so you started with trumpet. What other instruments you play?
Well, piano was also a segue into that, just to find the voicings, but guitar, harmonica, and a few percussions.
Cool. And who are your inspirations? Like, you know, when you want to sit down and, like, listen to someone else's music, who do you like to listen to?
Sly Stone, James Brown, The Meters from New Orleans. Okay. And sometimes I don't want to hear any words at all, and I'll put on Wynton Marsalis.
Definitely.
But, I mean, there's so many, man. I mean, Prince, of course, he's undeniable. Yeah. You know, even you know, Sam Cooke.
Yeah,
you know, I listen to the people who inspire me, just to be individual.
Yeah,
you know, just to be myself and allow myself to radiate. And that's why the influences that I have are that, because they took their story and their story is now gonna live forever.
Right.
And that's what I do. You know, through my music, I share the things that I experience, things that I see, things that I can probably feel that I can predict. I put a story out there, and hopefully it'll change someone's life.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So where do you get the, do you write your own music?
So
where do you get your inspirations for the songs you write?
Life, I get it from living, you know, so I'm thankful. But beyond living, being present in all that I'm living too.
Being present's important, because a lot can happen if we're not being present. It's like,
right over your head. And I think that sometimes, maybe I'll divert the conversation for a second. Sometimes in pursuit to where we got to go, we tune out everything else because we want what we want.
Yeah.
But you miss everything valuable to keep what you're working at there.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I have to always remind myself of. Be present, because it's in that moment when you just walk into the store that you may see someone that could change your life. Mm. And if you take those troubles from the lack of not having it, you can miss something that's going to get you there.
Right.
So I always switch my mindset. I'm thankful for being alive, having the activity of my limbs and the drive and ambition. So I go out and hopefully I connect with someone to change my life.
Yeah, cool. Cool. Was there a point over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years when you're, you know, doing the music full time that, like, it all of a sudden it came to you, like, you know what, this is going to work. Like, I'm going to make it.
Yes. When I met this lovely lady sitting you know, in the audience.
Off to the side. We'll have to get her on.
Because,
say hi.
Yes. Because, like we spoke about before, when you meet someone who is equally as passionate about their own lives, and it just happens to coincide with yours, two of the same mind are going to get there.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
And it exponentiates, right? It's not like 1 + 1 = 2. It's like 1 + 1 gives you 20.
Man,
you know?
It gives you all that, because it's someone else in your moments of doubt that gives you assurance. Like, listen, you can do it. And it's someone also, which I have to admit that I haven't always been easy with, someone else who can see what you can't. Someone else who can offer a bit of a perspective that you can't see because you're doing one particular thing. So someone who from the outside can offer the things to make the entire picture better. And that's very important. Seek people of like minds, but also who may be bit more advanced than you to get you to that level.
Right.
Because you want people who you have similarities with, but people who you can learn something from even more.
Right. Right. Exactly. We want people who are going to lift us up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not that we always have to lift up other people.
Right, right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with helping other people and helping them to raise up their level. But as we do that for others, we need people to do that for us
that's
as
right,
well.
Right.
It's a balance.
Yeah,
right?
So you'd be depleted and you have nothing to offer.
Right. Right. Well, now that you're, you know, a full-time musician as an adult doing this, this is like your life. Is there anything about being a musician that really surprised you that when you thought of it when you were younger, that you had a very different expectation about it?
Yes. The fact that every time I write a song, I'm introducing new magic. It's like someone doesn't even have to speak the language, but they can be moved by the feeling.
Right.
So like whenever I meet fans from different parts of the country, and they tell me about how my song moved them. Like that's beautiful because I had no idea that it was sort of like telepathy. It's like this energy field that goes out and touches people in a way that you could never even imagine.
Yeah.
And it's like you didn't even have to live the experience or even know about it. But when I tell you about it, you feel as if you were a part of it.
Right,
that is
right.
Magical. I had no idea it was so magical. I knew that it was rewarding, but in a way that soothes the soul, I had no idea. Like it's magical.
Have you found music healing for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I was able to put down the idea of neurology and go to music because everything else was taken away. Photos, books, everything. All I had left was the choice. The choice was either to be better or be bitter. And in being better, that was to allow my music to change my life.
The choice is either to be better or to be bitter.
Yep.
Yeah. And better definitely serves us more than bitter.
Yeah, bitter. I mean, I have no idea where that could have led me.
Yeah.
That's not life at all.
Definitely not a place. Oh, we got a bunch of hearts on the Facebook live stream for that one. Thank you. So you have a band you play with?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Tell us a little bit about your bandmates.
Well, I want to first say thank each and every one of you because this is a very, very, you know, intense journey. You know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, you can meet some of the most talented people. You know, they can play better than anyone you ever met, but they have to have the common goals in mind, too. They have
right.
to also want what you want because
right.
if they don't want what you want, then it'll only go but so far.
Right.
You know,
right,
so it's always a journey to go beyond face value.
Right.
And find someone that's good at heart
right.
and who wants to build the vision. And also understand that although it's a vision that you might have been building for long, it's also something that everyone shares.
Yeah.
So it's getting people who understand that I can give to this, but something for me is also going to manifest. So it's finding people with common interest
right.
who are okay with supporting something that will also later on build a segue for all of us.
Right.
So that's been the journey, but
it's like finding your tribe.
Oh,
even
yeah.
if the tribe is
oh,
just
yeah.
two people or three
yeah.
people,
yeah.
it's still finding your tribe.
That's the word, man. It's definitely that tribe, you know, that tribe of good individuals who are also driven and ambitious mm-hmm. and want something greater than, you know, what the 9-to-5 life can provide, and they want to change
right.
the world.
Right.
So I'm thankful for those guys. You know, they're really contributing so much.
Did you like meet them like all around the same time, or was mm-hmm. it a little bit here, a little bit there?
No, this is like the fourth band that I've had.
Okay.
Yes, because like, you know, like
and
I said,
how long have you been with these guys?
Well, like one maybe like 3 years, and then others
okay.
like 8 months or 9 months, and then in a year.
Okay.
Because like sometimes. I understand, you know, if you're investing your time into something and it's not materializing the way that you want to, maybe
right.
you shift gears,
right.
you know, but someone who understands that, not even that, it's for different people, you know, because it's not that you
right.
don't understand the value of taking time. It just may not be what you're willing to put your time into.
Right.
So when
right.
I find people who understand the greater vision and are willing to be patient and grow with the journey, then that's all I could ever ask for because, you know, it takes more than one, like it takes a team, especially
right.
to make the impact that I seek to make,
right.
you know, like as a musician.
Yeah.
You know, and really inspire kids to pick up the instruments again
right.
and learn how to, you know, express themselves through art.
Yeah.
So that's why I do it, because, you know, I have to show the city that gave me what I have that it was all worth it.
How many hours a day do you practice?
Well, I sing when I wake up until I go to sleep.
All day long.
Oh, yeah.
Now
with the band,
yeah.
I try to get in a couple times a week, but as you know, it's paying for the rehearsal space and then like the time outside of the 9-to-5, because I still have to work to make the money to pay them and invest back
right.
into the craft and invest into the instruments and the studio time.
Right.
So it's really like a breaking even thing for quite some time.
Right.
And like profit, you know, is like far-reaching thing that you're working toward. Even with that, I don't know how I managed to keep such a nice thread.
Yeah. New York has great thrift shows, right?
That's it.
You know, this is the secret of New York City. Most people don't realize it can be a very expensive place to live, but it can also be a very cheap place to live if you know where to go and the things to do. Like, you can get great food really cheaply, or you can get great food and, like, you know, pay a ridiculous amount of money for
somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are playing in clubs and stuff around the city.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
now,
I played almost everywhere.
Yeah.
The ones that are on the bucket list are Barclays Center and Madison Square Garden.
Ah, the big ones, huh?
Come on, why not?
Yeah, of course.
We've earned
course.
It, man. You
know, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You got to get that talent agent, man, the person that has the connections to the bigger venues.
Yeah, yeah. What's been the largest venue you've played so far?
Whiskey or Go-Go in Hollywood.
Oh,
I,
no,
I believe.
Nice.
Brooklyn Bowl, yes, sir.
Bowl. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, yeah. I saw actually one of my favorite bands there, Nacho and Medicine for the People. They happened. Wow. It was like their first time playing in New York City, and a friend of mine turned me on to them a couple of years ago, and I just love their music. And that was my first time out at Brooklyn Bowl. Wow. That's a nice place.
It is very nice. Very
Cool. Let me know when you're going to be there next.
Yes, we'll do.
All right, cool. We're going to take a couple of minutes or a couple of announcements, and when we come back again, listen to the lead-in music. We're going to have some more funky stuff. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Legalize the earth to continue to resist the passage of this necessary legislation.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
From the bowl, it's out the gumbo pot. Don't you be surprised by the twang in my tongue. Give them a ball with the glow inside my eyes. See, I done seen a lot, been through more, just dusted off my shoulders. See, I'm sure you had a few stones in your way, but baby girl, I've got some boulders. Now this is not about who's the toughest of two. I'm saying I can love you, we can get through anything, anything. You got me, I got you, we got God, baby. We'll be just fine. We can coast like the Mississippi. Take you uptown to see Mama Neal. Show you all around my city. If you promise that you'll be my gym, my gym. Tell me that you'll be like.
Oh, yeah. And Greg, that song was?
Tell Me.
Tell Me.
Oh, yeah.
And what's that song all about?
That song is just the beat.
Of New Orleans.
It's just the vibe, the energy, the tempo of the city.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little bit more of a funky one than Heaven, right? Yeah, we loved
it. Definitely.
Big shout out to Ta listening to us on the Facebook live stream. He says the show is super interesting, and he's really loving it, showing us a lot of love on the Facebook live stream.
Happy to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. I love it. How do songs come to you? I mean, I know you said like life is your inspiration, but do you find yourself like just walking down the street and a beat comes to you?
All the time.
You know, you hear it all the time.
It's melody first. Sometimes without words, it's like,
okay.
Like I hear a song now. It's like, something like that. And then I'm like, okay.
Nice.
Every time I sit around, I think about you, babe. You got me so happy, girl. Don't ever want to let you get away. I love the way it just comes to me. Now.
Yeah, beautiful. Toss says nice. You're definitely creating music live on the air. Definitely people are loving that. What are your dreams? Where do you hope that this music takes you?
Well, I
besides Madison Square Garden, we know you're going to be there. Absolutely.
I seek to truly be a light for all of the youth who may feel as if what they're working toward may not manifest. Mm. I say that because I came from situations like they're in, and right. If you continue to work for it and you continue to push, it'll manifest. I want to buy the recreational center that I once went to that's no longer operating because there's no grant money in the city. I want to buy that back, put back in their pottery, put in music, right. Dance, and sports, because I want to give the kids an outlet. I want right. to give them a chance to really use their greatest potential and change the world.
Right, and it's so important. Like nowadays, you know, in the education system, the budgets for arts and music and all this stuff, it's all getting cut right mm-hmm. and left. And, you know, it's so important. I mean, that's what feeds our soul. That's science and math absolutely are important and all that other stuff. But, you know, the arts, I mean, that's what lifts our spirits.
It's the color. It's just the color.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the texture. That the world needs to keep it moving.
Because there's infinite colors in the rainbow, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what we need. So I really want to use my platform and influence to make a way for future generations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So how'd you get the nickname the Saint of Soul?
Well, just being from New Orleans, you know, that's like the idea of being a New Orleanian. But the people that I look up to the most, like James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, and, you know, Michael Jackson, the King of Pop, and all these guys, they have created something that will live on forever.
Right.
And I felt that it was my duty to do the same. But I don't walk around saying that that's who I am. I give it to you, and I help you to believe it. I help you to see that that's what I deserve.
Mm.
So by the work that I put out, I earned that. I just give you something to find attainable, and I give you the work to show you that I've earned it.
Right. You know? Nice. Have you had, like, you know, people who've come to your concerts and stuff, like, come up to you afterwards and tell you how much it inspired them?
Yes.
That must be a great feeling.
It's even greater when someone is my 20, 30 years my senior, and they tell me that I remind them of a time in their life that was the most inspiring or joyous. Even once I was on the train, and a guy, maybe my age, a little old, he told me I reminded him of his father.
Oh,
that
wow.
was so inspiring, because I know, you know, a father is someone that you seek to get the instructions on how to lead your life in the world.
Right.
So when someone says, you remind me of my father, that's inspiring.
Right.
And you know, at first I didn't know how to take that. I'm like, man, I'm probably younger than you. But
yeah.
you know, what I had to realize, it's the character and the dignity and the poise that's carried that I think may give people that reflection. And I just want to show you that, you know, grace and integrity is attainable. You know, you have to just believe in yourself and carry that with you every day. And everything you deserve will come. You don't have to belittle yourself or compromise your value or worth in order to get tangible things. You just be yourself, and you believe in yourself, and you carry yourself with the utmost respect, and everything you deserve will come to you.
Ah, beautiful. I assume you consider yourself a man of faith?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you believe in?
I believe that there was a creator that gave us all that we have, and if we tap into it, we'll get everything we want.
Beautiful. What inspires you these days? Like what helps to keep your spirits up? Because, you know, we live in such a time where things are so crazy, and, you know, everyone's so worried about everything going on, because, you know, things are very almost extreme polar opposites all the time.
Definitely.
So how do you stay inspired?
Well, I remember from which I've come. I remember being the fifth of nine kids in the housing projects of New Orleans, and wanting to do something greater than my circumstances, and I've been blessed to do that. So I know that it's possible, so I have to keep going. If quitting was an option, I should have never started.
Nah,
you know, so I just keep it going. I mean, you know, when times get tough, we consider how can we switch gears, do something different to get to the same outcome.
Right.
You know, and I talk to my mom every day. She tells me she believes in me. She knows it's going to happen.
Where is she?
She's back in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, cool. You know.
Do you get back there to visit to New Orleans?
Not as much as I like, because, you know, just the lifestyle in New York City is expensive, and paying the musicians, and as much as I perform, I have to pay them, and seven to nine
absolutely.
People every time. So that's been a tough thing, you know, but I do seek to get back in the next month or so.
Yeah.
But like I said, I just touch in with those people who I know love me and believe in me.
Mm.
And I look at the people that I don't know, the fans, and how they're responding to the work that I put out, you know, and they keep telling me to do it without saying it. They just love it. They tell me how much it inspired them.
Yeah.
And even just, you know, walking on the street or getting a text message or an email from somebody who aspired to be an artist and say that they're doing it because of me. that keeps moving me. And they have no idea how much it moves me. You know, the fact that I'm doing what I do and it tells you that you can do the same, that's beautiful. That's rewarding. And I always say, becoming successful is rewarding in itself. Seeing other people live a life of joy and prosperity off of my success is the most rewarding.
Mm.
Because had I quit, they wouldn't have had the chance to do that.
Yeah.
And I realize that everyone doesn't have maybe the tenacity to go out and create it, but they can do it if you help them with it. Right. So if I go out and create the foundation, everyone around me can build on that. Right. And that's the most rewarding.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. My dear friend, G.P. Walsh, who's a teacher in his own right, says, character, dignity, poise, grace. Amazing young man. That's high words of praise from a beautiful man. G.P., you would like him. What's the hardest part about what you do?
The work-life balance.
Ah.
Yeah, because, being a young man, you know, or any man, young man, woman, old man, whatever, you want to feel that you have a balance in life. Like, you know, there's times when I just want to take a vacation and just recoup on the energy that's been exhausted on the journey.
Right.
And you can't do that. You can do it if you stop investing in your craft.
Right.
You know, so it's the balance of, I know I have to do this, but like I just need to relax, you know. So it's really just the ability to just, I mean, I enjoy it every day, but it's the ability to just take a step back and reflect.
Right.
But, you know, having to work and provide, like, you can't take that break. Right. You have to keep going. So that's the hardest part.
Well, you do have to practice some self-care, right?
Yes,
you know, because got to take care of yourself or you can't show up.
That's the hardest part.
To be as good. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes, it's you feel like there's so many responsibilities on you, I guess, that it's hard to say, you know what, I got to do something for myself.
Yeah,
but, you know, we all have to.
I'm forcing myself to do that.
Good. Do you meditate at all?
Yes.
Good. Yes, awesome. Awesome. Glad to hear that.
Definitely.
Have there been any things along the path, along the way, that like really surprised you? A serendipitous meeting, you know, a chance thing that ended up turning into something great for you?
Yes. At the restaurant that I work at one day, I was playing my music on the radio. I mean, over the Spotify. And this woman happened to come in that ended up being my publicist. And she was like, who's that? And I'm like, it's me. No way. Yes, it is.
Wow.
I have the music sent to you. That's how I got here, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah, beautiful.
Definitely.
Beautiful. Yeah. She sent me a note to say, hey, Sam, I think this guy would be great for you to have on your show. And all I saw was the Saint of Soul. And I was like, got to be my man. Got to be part of my tribe. We have to have him on the show.
Definitely.
Very cool. Very cool. So I know you've said you've toured around, you've played around the States a bit. Have you ever played overseas?
No, we're working to do that in London for the first time, like summertime.
Ah, awesome. Yeah. Great. Yeah, because I know a lot of musicians who didn't necessarily achieve their success first here in the United States. When they go to Europe, they get a lot of success in Europe. Yeah, and then when they come back
it's massive.
Like that's what kind of really launches their career.
I mean, well, for the past couple of years, we've been getting extreme radio play in Europe, in Spain, in London, and the Netherlands, Amsterdam. So the awareness and the love is there. It's just that it's the financial aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because just going to Los Angeles, it was about $10,000 for 2 days and eight of us.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's the other part of it. It's like there's no way that I could pay $10,000 on top of all the daily expenses that are needed.
Right.
But touring is necessary.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you get to these different places, the demand continues to rise and then you get the endorsements and the brand partnerships. And now the 9-to-5 is no longer relevant and everything you needed to do, you can do.
Right.
But it's just getting to the other stop, which is it's expensive. Whether it's on the tour bus in the States, you have to have somebody drive it and all those things.
I know a lot of artists now, because the music industry has changed so much from the way it used to be, a lot of artists are trying to crowdfund their stuff. Have you like crowdfunded any albums or songs?
Yes, I have a music videos and albums I have. It's just the, you know, crowdfunding a tour is like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Even if we, you know, I mean, maybe it could be maybe like $50,000 if we guerrilla started and, you know, slept on like in motels or something and ate bare minimum on the journey because, you know, we have to make sure everybody's fed and, you know, we have to get to the destinations and lodging. So we need to, you know, make sure that we're recouping enough after those continuous shows to be ready for the next one.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think most people don't realize, like, there are so many little details that go into, like, doing a tour, just going someplace that people don't even realize. Like, it really does take a lot.
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, if you had a team of people, like, you know, who are willing to invest their time because they believe in the greater purpose, someone said, well, I have this bus and I could drive it.
You need to pay me right now.
You just have to pay me to give me food and make sure I can sleep. Because we have awareness in every state. So we just have to manager contacts that place, say we're coming, and they're like, okay, we have a night for you. It just takes the getting there is the difficult part. It's not even raising the awareness, and wherever we go, we can do that.
Right, you know,
if we haven't already, it's just getting there.
Do you have any active campaigns right now that we can shout out?
No, we don't. We're actually about to start one for the music video for Heaven, but we're definitely looking for an agent, a booking agent to help us get around the world. Okay. So that's active. That's a campaign that we're talking about.
You hear that?
Now.
You hear that, listeners? Come on. Know any good music agents? That this is a diamond, definitely a diamond shining.
Yes, yes.
GP says Europe still loves art, and Ta says Europe is where it's at. I love touring out there. The people really consume your music.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you know what? Let's go out. We're going to go out like a little bit early so that we can, you know, come back and listen to one more of your tracks when we come back. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is the Saint of Soul, Greg Banks from New Orleans. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Beautiful. Now I absolutely have to come. Yeah, hear you perform now. Just listening to these little teasers when we come back. They're great.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Toss says great show. He's loving it. Your family is still spread out all over the place.
Yes.
They listen to your music, I'm sure. Yeah, they're still supporting you. They're still your biggest fans.
Yes. I have a brother who fortunately he has a professional basketball player in Europe. So every city he goes to or country he goes to, he's like, I play the music for people. So like, you know, he was in Spain, he was in Tokyo, he's now in Canada, so he's like, you have fans everywhere I go.
Oh, so wonderful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, we'll definitely keep shouting you out here on the station. We love it. And I love that you kind of let life and spirit kind of guide you within the music.
Definitely.
Do you find sometimes people don't get you?
Man. The question you just asked is the million-dollar question. Because I'll tell you, I won't say it that way. It's an accountability and a responsibility that I feel we have as artists to inspire and shape the world.
Yeah.
So I have to be honest in my experiences. And as vulnerable as it may make me feel, I have to give it to you. Mm-hmm. I could also take the shallow approach and just say things that I know you want to hear. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you what you need to hear and what you grow to want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always a difficult thing because I'm not one-dimensional, and I don't think that any of us were ever born to be. So because I can do multi styles of music and I can fuse genres so well, I think the big question is, what do we do? I think the answer is, and I don't know all the answers, but just let it be.
Right.
That's what I think. Yeah. Because if you let it be, you know, you'll inspire more people. Maybe letting it be raises the bar. I don't know. But if you let it be, it's the most beautiful that it could be, because it's not confined by what you say the limitations are.
Right, right. Because when we give space to something, it allows it to unfold naturally. Yeah. And then sometimes things unfold in ways we couldn't imagine, it's amazing and beautiful in the process.
That's right.
And it's not always easy to do that, right? Because there's that fear that creeps in of like, oh my God, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? Right. Instead of just trusting. Right. What's helped you to learn to trust?
I believe that every experience I'm allowed to experience was intentional. There was something in it that I was supposed to get out of it. So I'm still alive. I've grown through it. I've made it through it. So there's a reason for it, and I have to share it with someone else to help them avoid it, or if they're in it, to help them to get out of it the right way.
Yeah. So many things, as we mentioned earlier today, like people are so fearful in so many ways about all the stuff going on. Do you find yourself personally, are you more hopeful, more optimistic for the future, or do you have like real concerns about what's going on?
I'm optimistic for the future because I'm going to help to make that shift. The music that I create, and just for my standalone, I'm going to help that shift happen. So I'm optimistic because I believe it can happen again, because it's happened before. Marvin Gaye and Michael Jackson, all those guys, Sam Cooke, they've done it before. Nina Simone, Richard Wright, they took it into their own hands and they shifted the climate of the world.
Right. So you're optimistic because you know you have a part to play and that you're going to help inspire people.
And I'm thankful that I was chosen to play a part in the bigger picture.
Yeah, chosen, and you chose to step up.
That's right.
You know, not everybody chooses to step up, do they? You know, some people, they just let other things, they let the hurt get in the way of living the dream.
That's right.
And that doesn't serve anybody, because we're really here to share our gifts with the world, aren't we?
That's right. And like I said, I've grown to understand that the true joy is being able to get up and do it every day. I have activity in all my limbs. I'm breathing. I still have a mind to use. I have people around that believe, so that's the gift. So many people are stuck in their room wishing they could. So the fact that I can get up every day and do it is joyous. Now, I won't say at all that I don't want the benefit of what comes from doing what I do.
Of course, that helps.
That helps you to do it on a greater level and helps you to enjoy life. But the true joy is knowing that I can do it every day. The greatest joy is not those that I love to live a better life because of the decisions I made.
All right, so if we were going to like state your intention publicly, let's just keep it short term. Let's just the next year or two. How do you envision your life the next year or two? What's going to happen that's really going to help you?
Well, I'm going to get an agent. I'm going to get an endorsement deal, a brand partnership. I'm going to go on tour. And then I'll give the world some more love.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And do you have any advice for like other young musicians trying to break in and do the same thing?
Yes, I'll say a couple of things. Believe in all that you are. You're great. You're born to do great things. Don't allow anybody to take that from you. Take constructive criticism. Find a team of like-minded people. And don't stop until your heart stops.
Yeah, any day above ground, it's another day that you can do something, right?
Yeah, yes.
All right, beautiful. Thank you. That was a question from Rob, by the way. Did you ever imagine like this is the way your life would end up when you were young, before pre-Katrina days?
No, I didn't. I would no longer say it was impoverished. I had everything I needed to be who I am now. It was all about the choices I made. So I came from a single family home in a neighborhood that typically doesn't, you know, produce, you know, the world changes.
Single family home, but you had your mom, and you did have a dad. Yes.
No, my father's been incarcerated my entire life. The moment that I mentioned was a father of my brother who happened to be in that moment with me in my life. But my father, the man that gave birth to me, helped to give birth to me through my mother, has been in prison my entire life.
You know,
it's unfortunate, but
have you seen him in?
I've seen him once every 4 years of my life, except this time, like it's once been 7 years. Okay. So when I was born, of course, I didn't know until four. I saw him and he was gone until I was 8 and 12 and so on and so forth. So every graduation, every milestone in life he was absent from. You know, so it's really been my mother that shaped me. And I have no idea how she was a nurturer, a provider, a protector, a disciplinarian. I have no idea because she's not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I know. But she did what she did.
So there was a point where we switched gears and we were looking out for the younger ones because, you know, we knew that she had to work. And I was talking this morning. There were days when I wouldn't see her at all because she would work two jobs. So the only time I would connect with her is because I'd need money for lunch and I'd go to her job that she was getting off to start the next one. And I'd see her then, give her kiss, tell her love, and I'd be on my way.
Right,
you know, but it was unfortunately a system that we had to accept because there was no other way around it.
Right.
You know, so I worked so hard because I want to finally give her the chance to relax and enjoy her life.
Yeah.
And I know she's seen the benefit of her her decisions because she has 22 grandkids.
22 grandkids.
Yeah, man. So it's like, whew, I'm like, that's all because of you. Like, that's your legacy, mom.
Yeah.
You know, so she finds immense joy in them, but I want her to just kick back, have the big house with the big backyard so they can all run in and play. And she says, you know what? I see it now.
Did you guys get together for family reunions anytime? That must be something to
behold.
Can
I be honest? It's been, like, I saw my little brother. He was here for, like, the weekend. I saw him. It's the first time in 4 years that I've seen him. And because he's a marine biologist. He's about to start traveling the world. So we don't connect as often as we'd like.
Okay.
So we're making it a point. No matter what you're doing, come together for a weekend.
Yeah.
So we can have our own reunion. We have so many of us. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So many of us.
I mean, I come from a very small family. I have one brother, one sister, you know, less than a handful of first cousins. And, like, actually, my sister happened to be in town from Israel, so my brother came up from Virginia Beach, and my brother's kids. My sister had one of her daughters, and then we had couple of first cousins, you know, were local, so they came around. And it was, like, the first time we'd all been together in years.
I had no idea that that would happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had no idea that my life would end up that way. And I'm not saying end up as if it's something bad,
right,
or turmoil, but it's a, like, we know that we have our own dreams and ambitions and aspirations, but we never thought that it'd take us away from each other because we were what kept the unit together. We kept each other motivated and moving forward, and life has taken us in different directions, and we're grateful because they're doing something positive and progressive.
Yeah,
but it keeps us away from each
cool.
other.
You're here now in New York City. Have you, like, bumped into anybody from New Orleans that you
all
knew?
The time.
That, like,
all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Really?
You know, like,
so cool.
It's like little sounds. Like, if someone has a Saint shirt on, like, I know that. It's funny because you could say, well, maybe they like the Saints. But I just know.
I just know.
I'm like, you from New Orleans? Yeah, from New Orleans. And then my accent starts to come out. You know? It's crazy. But you're walking down the street and someone, like, funny enough, a guy who grew up around the corner from me, and he now works in, like, a production and film. One day he was in New York working on a commercial, and I was walking down the street on Bowery, and he's like, Greg Banks. I'm like, so I didn't see him. He's like, man. He texted me, said, I just saw you. I'm like, how did you know that was me? He said, man, you walk the same way you've been walking since you were a kid. Like, my back was turning, you knew that was me. I was, that's crazy.
That's
and he hadn't
awesome.
Seen me in like 4 years. Like, how did you know? It's kind of a trick question because I know you know it was me. But
yeah,
how'd you know
that?
I just want to test, you know, their theory. Like, how did you know? Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so for our audience, if they want to, like, find your music, find out more about you, where can they go?
You can find me on www.gregbanksmusic.com. On Instagram at Greg Banks Music, Facebook at Greg Banks Music. Just type in Greg Banks on Google. Luckily, I'm at the top of the search optimization, so you'll see me there.
Cool. And that's Greg, G-R-E-G, Banks, B-A-N-K-S.
That's right, Greg
and
Banks.
And you got any gigs coming up you can tell our audience about?
Yes, April 10th, I'll be doing Good Morning Baltimore. So if you're in the DMV area, March 10th, I'll be doing Good Morning Baltimore. So if you're in Baltimore, anywhere nearby, you can see me there. March 17th, I'll be doing a private So Far Sounds gig in New York City. On April 22nd, I'll be doing a beer wine music festival in Baltimore as well.
Oh, okay. So down in the Baltimore area. Well, beautiful. Well, listen, Greg, I really appreciate you taking the time to come in studio and hang out and share your beautiful voice with us and your life. It's really a pleasure to have you, and I really look forward to seeing how you grow over the years. And you got me hooked. I'm there.
Man,
I'm a fan now, so... We will definitely keep in touch, okay? Right.
Thank you very much. As I said, I appreciate you allowing me into your space, allowing you to share my story with the people who didn't even know me yesterday.
Thank you for
allowing me to get one step closer.
My pleasure. That's what we're here for. And to my audience on the Facebook live stream and on talkradio.nyc, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I appreciate all the comments and all the feedback from people. I love it. Again, you can always find us here on talkradio.nyc, Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern Time to 1 p.m. You guys are great. Next week, who do I have next week? I don't even remember, but I know it's somebody fascinating. Hey, have I ever let you down? Thank you, guys. We will talk to you real soon.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff, like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.